Paperboy is the enchanting story of local author Tony McCauley's experiences as a paperboy on the Shankill Road during the height of the Troubles. The book is a compelling read and shares Tony's experiences as a 12-year-old boy. He talks to me about the inspiration behind the book and his experiences as a peace builder in Northern Ireland since leaving the Shankill.
A few years ago, I decided to do a creative writing course, and one of the exercises they give you on the course is to pick an object from a list and just write about it. And the object that I picked was a guitar, and I remembered when I had this little Spanish acoustic guitar that I had when I was 12 years old, and I remember going to guitar lessons. And it was 1975, and I was living at the top of the Shankill Road in Belfast, the height of the Troubles. All these memories then started to come back to me. So I wrote that short piece, and I got really good feedback from my tutor, and she suggested that I should do more of this type of writing. She called it life writing. So I started to write a little bit more and have more memories, and then eventually I came up with this idea that perhaps I could put all these stories together into a book and call it Paperboy, because it was around the period of time when I was a paperboy, those 2 years. Really, that's how it all came about.
Can you tell me a little bit about your peace building work in Northern Ireland?
Well, I've really worked in youth work and community development and peace building all my life. I went to Coleraine, and I'm a graduate of media studies, graduate of Coleraine University. But I did then, while I was a student, I got very involved on a voluntary basis in community relations work in Belfast. And as a result of that, when I graduated, I went and I began to work in that field. So in the 1980s, I worked and lived on the Peace Line in North Belfast. I was involved in youth work and community development deployment training schemes around the New Lodge, Tigers Bay area of Belfast. And then I went and moved on, and I worked for the YMCA for 10 years. And with the YMCA, I was involved in projects that were focusing on supporting young people to break down barriers between the communities here. And then after that, I worked in the Rural Community Network for many years, and again was looking at the sectarian divisions in rural communities in Northern Ireland. And for the past 10 years, I've been working freelance with many, many different organisations, but usually organisations who are interested in breaking down barriers between communities, bringing people together of different age groups. So, you know, so I would work with community groups, I would work with schools, I would work with youth organisations, churches, basically anyone who's interested in breaking down barriers and building trust and understanding between the sort of two main sections of the community here.
So you've done an awful lot of work in breaking down barriers. There is an episode in the book where you witness your father beating a wee hood, as you call the children who tried to steal your takings on a Friday night. You said in the book that this shocked you, and you vowed to be the only pacifist paperboy in Belfast. Is this the moment in your life that inspired you to get involved in peace building?
Well, I don't know if it was the exact moment, but it certainly had an impact on me. I do remember that. I remember all that was going on around me was, you know, I was aware there were all these tit for tat killings were going on, you know. So one day it was a Protestant was being killed, and the next day it was a Catholic that was being killed, and it just seemed to be tit for tat. And instinctively I knew as a child that this was not going to achieve anything apart from misery and just keeping the hatred and the bitterness going for years to come. So I kind of understood that. And then when I saw up close what happened, you know, that sort of physical violence from my own father against this wee hood, who, you know, had been giving me a very hard time. When I saw that up close and I saw what he did to him, I really, on the one hand, I was sort of proud that he was keeping me safe. My father was looking after me and keeping me safe. He was like action hero dad. But on the other hand, I just was really sickened by it, because I just thought, I was shocked, and I just thought, is this the way? Is this the way we deal with things in this country? Because it's clearly not working. So I decided I would try a different way.
There are a lot of fond memories in the book that capture the Belfast humour, and it's very entertaining to read. But there's also an underlying sense of fear riddled throughout it. Just how difficult was it to remain upbeat and enjoy your childhood during the Troubles?
It was very easy. I was very happy. I had a happy childhood.
I didn't know any different.
I think there is something about that, you know, and there's research has been done about that in different countries where there's been war and conflict, that children growing up, when you don't know anything else, you just think that's normal.
And do you feel that it almost makes you stronger and closer as a community?
Well, in my experience, there was this close-knit community, and there was a sense, like, my parents started this famous disco in the Shankill Road called the Westie Disco, and part of that was, you know, this was the parents who were concerned about keeping their kids out of trouble, out of the paramilitaries, safe and off the streets on a Saturday night. They all pulled together to try to keep us safe, I suppose. But my experience was just a happy childhood. I mean, there were times when I was scared, and, you know, I talk about that in the book. There were times where I was some instances where I was terrified, but there were other times when I think I was a bit naive, and perhaps I should have been more scared in some situations where I wasn't scared at all. You know, there's a few incidents I talk about in the book where all the buses were off because they were all being hijacked and the roads were blocked. And
all you were worried about was getting your papers delivered.
I was just worried about, I was going to be in trouble with a newsagent for not doing my papers that night. So it never occurred to me there might be, you know, I was walking through what was called Murder Mile in my school uniform at sort of 9 o'clock at night in the dark. I had no sense that I was in any danger. I honestly didn't feel scared because it was so familiar, the area was so familiar to me. So on the one hand, I was very happy, but on the other hand, perhaps I might have been a bit naive, you know.
And was there a status within the community of a paper boy?
Oh, yes. You know, if Al Mac trusted you, you know, and, you know, you kept your job for more than a couple of weeks, then, you know, it meant you were doing a good job. He sacked half our street. You know, yeah, you got sacked for giving cheek to the pensioners and for stealing. So that was the two golden rules. No thieving and no cheeking the pensioners. And I was very polite to the pensioners and I never stole any of the money. In fact, I hid the money down my Dr. Martin boots every time the hoods and robbers tried to rob me. So he thought I was just great because the money was very important to Al Mac.
When you look back at the events of the Troubles and you consider the recent EMAs in Belfast, how far do you think that Belfast has come since your days as a Shinko paperboy?
Oh, wow. It's incredible. I just watched the MTV Music Awards and all that was happening that week and couldn't believe it. It was such a transformation of Belfast.
Would never have happened in your day.
Oh, it would have been impossible to happen in my day. I mean, I talk about in the book, we were delighted because the Bay City Rollers decided they were going to come to Belfast because nobody would come to play in Belfast. None of the bands, the famous bands, would come because they were afraid. And so when someone famous decided that they would come, then the kids went crazy. And I mean, a lot of young people weren't allowed to go into the city centre to go to concerts because the city centre was being bombed all the time. But those of us who persuaded our parents to allow us to go, we had those sort of rare moments of delight. And I talk about that in Paperboy, about a crowd of us going down to see the Bay City Rollers. They were sort of like the Westlife of their day. You know, they were sort of like five Justin Biebers in the one band. They were huge. You know, Roller Mania was really big. So the fact that they'd come to Belfast.
And you got to meet them with Mac.
We waited for them at the stage door and
kicked them.
I kicked Woody. Yeah, that was a big thing. And, you know, we were so delighted at that, you know, one little concert. So you can fast forward to 2011 and you've got the MTV Music Awards happening, you know, the European Music Awards happening in Belfast. It's just unbelievable. And even where it happened, you know, I remember the Odyssey and the waterfront and that whole area. It was grim down there. It was just all, my memory of that was just, it was all grey and run down and old coal sheds and old run down factories and things. Down around the waterfront there was a horrible part of Belfast, you know. So the transformation's unbelievable.
Come a long way.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
What would you say to anyone considering reading Paperboy?
Well, I would say if you're interested in what life was like in Belfast in the 1970s through the eyes of a child, I think it'll give you a good insight. If you're interested in 1970s popular culture, it'll give you an insight because I talk a lot about, you know, the TV programmes and the music and the fashions and all of that as well. If people are curious about the Shankill Road, I think the Shankill Road has a certain reputation. And, you know, there's quite a negative image of the Shankill Road and people from the Shankill. So they're sort of surprised when they meet someone like me who spent all my life being involved in trying to break down sectarianism, because there's a bit of a stereotype that people from the Shankill wouldn't be that sort of person. So if someone's interested in finding out more about going a wee bit deeper below the surface and finding out what the Shankill community was like in the 1970s, I think it's a good book for people who are interested in that as well.
Any opportunities for a sequel?
Yes, absolutely. The sequel's called Bread Boy. I'm writing it at the moment. And the era is the era of Saturday Night Fever and Grease and punk rock.
Brilliant.
So the next 2 years are all about that sort of thing and what happened to me next. I hope to have that finished by Christmas and I hope we'll get a publisher for it in the new year.